Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen and amen. Well, you know, you don't come to church to hear from me. You don't come to church to hear from a man or a woman. You don't come to church to hear from anyone but the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is at work here on earth. I know that sometimes we can turn on the news. I just turned on the news today and I saw a new report that they're telling us that we can't hire tutors for our children in our homes. They're making that illegal here in California. And I'm like, we have lost our minds. And since when do I get to not be my child's parent? And this is what the world is doing. And I'm petitioning heaven and going, what are you doing? I need your voice right now. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm alive and I'm present and I'm working. Follow my lead. And so that's what we're doing here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. That's why we keep our doors open. That's why we will not stand. When the devil says no, we say, you don't get to rule us. You aren't Jesus Christ, and you don't get to rule us. The only one we follow is Jesus Christ. And so we're standing today. We're standing firm in who we are in our faith. We're standing firm in who we are, who God is. And the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you girls today. There is a fight inside of me stirring up. I don't know what this is. It's something I've been up with since 4 o'clock this morning, and I believe that the Lord is doing something new. He's actually beginning something new here at the Rock, and I don't know what it is. I'm waiting to hear the voice of God. So if you are an intercessor, I'm asking that you begin to pray with us. Begin to pray that Dan and I hear the voice of God, and that he begins to tell us new things to do and new strategies and bring us new ministers and new people to come alongside and to build the house with us. And I need new worship team. I'm losing people. I'm losing volunteers. I'm losing so many people. And so if you're at home and you have gifts and talents for the kingdom of God, call a Rock Church and let's get you plugged in, because it is time for us to start doing something for the kingdom again. We cannot any longer sit around and watch these things go by and live in fear, but we've got to get ourselves in faith, because we have a God who gives us gifts and pleasure, and who heals us. Is he your healer or is he not? Can we stand in faith or does it? There comes a point in our life as a Christian, we say there, he either is or he isn't. And I want to challenge you as Christians, where's your faith today? Are you a tare in the wheat or are you the wheat? And I want to question that. Are we goats or are we sheep? And I feel like God is saying, Church of the Living God, would you awaken yourself to who my spirit is? Would you look to me and would you begin to walk this out in the flesh, in faith and in strength and in my wisdom and in my knowledge like we've talked about? And that today we are talking about some pretty dynamic gifts. And you either believe them or you don't. But I'll tell you something. There's a whole group of people that seek this and seek this part of God only. And we're talking about healing, we're talking about miracles, and we're talking about faith. And when we say those things, people are like, oh, I want healing. Yeah, I'll go to that evangelist meeting and I'll go get my healing from that evangelist. Or I want that miracle. But you're not willing to do the things that God is asking you to do in obedience in order that leads you to your miracle. Let me be honest with you right now. He is God and he is on the throne and he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked, and he's being mocked right now in our society. And I'm here to say that the Holy Spirit is moving. And those of us that want to receive the gifts that he has for us here on this earth, you will operate in new ways. You will have gifts of knowledge. We just talked about all of this last week, and Pastor Dan got in the pulpit this weekend. First service, we had a word, and then somebody, he actually spoke in tongues. One of our beloved girls here in Women Rock that I love and trust had the interpretation of Pastor Dan's word. It was beautiful. And then second service, he had a word of knowledge. And he was like, that was a word of knowledge. And he explained it to the congregation. I was like, that was so cool. Like everything we just preached, he expressed it and he showed how it works. See, church, God is moving. But we have to know that we are who we are in him. We cannot be shaken by the things of this world. We cannot conform to the ideas and the ideologies of what the world is throwing at us. And we have to either just trust God and move forward and be the church or not. Now, we are the church, but the church gathers and we build each other up in faith. When I can talk to a sister and when I can actually hold hands and pray, do you ever miss holding hands and praying together? I don't know about you. I said that to my children the other day. I go, God, I miss being in a group of people holding hands together and praying. I miss it. Because there was something that, there was an electric atmosphere that happens when two or more are gathered. There's an electricity that is released from heaven and the power of God begins to move. And I'm here to tell you today that we're going to talk about signs, healings, wonders. We're going to talk about that gift of faith. But I need you to get yourself in faith today. To put your ideas, your news articles, your way of thinking to the side. And listen to what the Word of God says, because God has something for you. And this world is getting darker, but the church of the living God has to get brighter. It has to. And I cannot be the only one on this bandwagon, guys. I need the church, you, sitting in these seats, jumping on board, believing in those things that we preach. And I need you to start to begin to be the church. No longer sitting idle, waiting for something to happen. We are the church. We make things happen. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is not peripheral to the world. That's what the Bible says. And so let's be the church of the living God. Let's find out what the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us and in us, and so that it can permeate out of us, and that we bring a fragrance to the world around us, not the world bringing a fragrance to us. We are the body of the living God. We are the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. I wanted to remind you of that. I'm sorry if I'm passionate today. People will say, oh, she yells when she preaches. No, don't misjudge me. It's passion. It's the Spirit of God all over me right now. I can't get him off. I won't stay silent. And I won't use the pulpit for my own ideologies, but I'm telling you right now, I will shove the gospel down your throat if I have to, because it's what changes us. And when we begin to become weak, I'm seeing weak Christians everywhere. I want to say, strengthen yourself. Get yourself into the Word of God again. Get yourself back together with believers again. Do what you have to do to fill up your spirit, man, because the world is working triple time. These aren't just devils, guys. This is a massive demonic agenda to hurt and to tear down the body of Christ. We see it. It happens in history over and over again. And here, that is a word of wisdom. There's a word of knowledge. The Lord has been revealing these things to me. And he says, be aware, church. But know that in your awareness, know that when you are in these dark times and these dark places, just as the Corinthians were, where we're learning. 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going, so turn there with me in your Bibles. When you go there, put it up on the screen for me, please. When we go there, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, do not be ignorant. Whoa, what? The Bible just called us ignorant? Yep. And if you read in Psalms, it actually calls you stupid too. Cheryl Salem says, you know, you can't fix stupid. That's what she says. And I actually love that, because when we're stupid, we are stupid. I have been stupid. How many have been stupid? I have been stupid so many times. And yet, thank God, he's gracious with me. And he says, hey, quit being dumb. Come on. My spirit's going to give you understanding in this. That's what he's saying. Verse 2. It says, you know that you were Gentiles. That's who we are. If you are not Jewish, you are a Gentile. Carried away by those dumb idols, however you led. Hold on a second. What kind of idols did we carry in our lives before this whole situation? I believe the Lord is going to use this to wipe our lives out. We put a value on our vacations. We put a value on our time outside of the house of God. We put sports before the Lord, guys. We did. We showed our kids that church wasn't as important as the things outside of church. We have taught our children wrong as Christians. We are not putting these idols in their life. We're putting them to replace things in their life. I don't have a problem with sports. My kids play sports. But when it crosses that they don't get to come to youth anymore and get their spirit man filled up, I've got an issue. When they don't get to come to children's ministry anymore because, oh, well, I'll just watch it online. Or I'll just, but then you end up not doing that. You end up just, it becomes a false thing. And other things become idols in your life than the Word of God. And God sees that, and I believe God is stripping us right now. so that all we see is him. And I hope that you have eyes to see and ears to hear. But here was a Corinthian church, and they had idols everywhere. Wherever they would walk, there was idols. There were Greek gods. There were Roman gods. You would walk down. They had 1,000 prostitutes in their temple for ritual sex. This is the nasty world we live in. But guys, we can read that and go, oh, but I'm sorry. The child slaves that we're finding out about in our country, and we think it's okay. They're about to make pedophilia a sexual choice, and that's okay. Where's the church of the living God standing up and saying, this is sin, and it is wrong, and it is not of God? Where are you? But you know, we just stay quiet. And I'm here to say, these are dumb idols. These are things that will rob you from God. These are things that will strip you. There's a great falling away, and God is warning us. He is warning us to hang on, church, to press in, church, to not let the idols of this world become what we worship, however you were led. Therefore, I make known, verse 4, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. I can't even tell you how many times I've turned the news on this week, and I've heard senators, I've heard people in Congress, I've heard them say, we don't need God in this country, and they looked at the camera and said it. And I thought, what are we doing? What is happening to our country where we went from a dollar bill that said, in God we trust, to now we don't need God? We are living as a Corinthian church. We are in these times, women. And instead of getting discouraged, let's pull our fight out and know what our gifts are that the Holy Spirit has given us to overcome these foolish things. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That the Holy Spirit knew we would be right back here. Do you know that history repeats itself? You know, that's why when we want to cancel history, cancel it. It's so stupid. Then we're going to just repeat it again. We need to know how stupid we were before so that hopefully we don't do it again, right? It's like my children, if they forgot all the dumb things they did before, then they would just do it again. So we need to know that this is repeating itself, and the devil does not have a new plan. He does not have new schemes. It just comes in new packages. But it's the same plan, and it's the same schemes. And we have to have eyes to hear and hearts to receive and understand that there's a greater power working in this world than the one that we're seeing right now. And his name is Jesus Christ, but he works through you and through I. And until we allow him to come awake in our spirit man and to be used by the heavenly Father of God, because we are kingdom daughters and there are kingdom things inside of us that are greater than this world, then we just sit idle and we're no good. We're like that birthday present that someone buys you and you forgot about it and it collects dust on a shelf. And God is saying, I've given you these gifts. I've given you these things for these hard times you're in, church. But what are you doing with it? Have you unpackaged the package? Have you undone the birthday gift? I don't know if we have. And I want to challenge you to begin to open the gifts in your life. To begin to be open to what God wants to do in your world. Because we need it right now more than ever before. We have to shine brighter. We cannot be fooled by the sways of the enemy. We have to be on our game. And we have to know our opponent. And his name is Satan. And we have already had the victory over him. So now we just need to believe and operate in the gifts. So here we go. Verse 4, there are diversities of these gifts, but the same Spirit, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives them. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. You see that in church. There's different flavors of church, and I love it because God knows that we all aren't the same. He didn't create us the same. Wouldn't that be a boring world if we were all the same? I'm glad that there's so much difference in this world, but we have to be like-minded and in unity, and that is not where the church has been. And God is calling us back to unity. Go back and get those messages. They're on the archives. 1 Corinthians 12:6, and it says, and there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of myself. Is that what the Bible says? If you're online, does it say for myself? No. Since when is God about one person? God is after humanity. He came for all. He didn't come for the white people. He didn't come for the black people. He didn't come for the Tongans or the Cambodians. God came for everyone. He came and he is inclusive. And he came and died for, guess what? The sinner and the broken person. And you cannot clean yourself up enough. Only he can clean you up. So come back to the Lord today, because he's calling you home, and your place and where you belong is only with Jesus Christ. Only with Jesus Christ. There's safety. There's refuge. There's love. There's unity. There is the kingdom. There we will see beyond what we're living in. There we will see with eyes of faith and not eyes of fear. That is what God is calling us to. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. We talked about that. Go back and get it. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We're going to talk about that today, gift of faith. To another, the gift of healing. We're going to talk about healing today. And to another, the working of miracles. Ooh, we get to talk about that one. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. We covered that last week. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. The gifts are not for themselves, but they are to benefit others. Look at the girlfriend across the aisle from you. Maybe if you're home, look at somebody in the room. And I'm here to tell you, it's for them. You being filled up with the Spirit of God, you operating in the gifts that the Lord has put inside of you, is not for you, but it is for those next to you. It is for those that you're going to touch one day. It is for those that you come across in a store. It is for people, because God is after people. And he loves people. And he's longing for the heart that needs people. He came to rescue the lost, and we are part of this plan of redemption. So, how do I get to be used by God? How do I operate in this? Number one, there are 9 gifts. We've covered a lot of them. Let me review real quick. We talked about the declarative gifts last week, right? Do you guys remember that? Tongues, all of that. We talked about word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Remember those? We talked about all of these. So there's 9 gifts. Go back and get them. This week, we're talking about the dynamic gifts. Dynamic. Number one, gift of faith. The definition for this is a supernatural gift of belief, a confidence for a specific situation. What do you mean faith, Pastor Jess? I mean, when we hear faith being talked about, we equal that to our walk with the Lord. Don't we walk in faith every day? Aren't I in faith every day? But this is talking about a specific faith. What does that mean? It means that maybe you find yourself in a situation. Let me give you an example. Maybe you find yourself where you're believing God for something, and somebody that you love has gone into the hospital, and without that gift of faith, you're going to fall apart. But there's just something on the inside of you that just jumps on you, and there's this gift of faith like, no, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to see God in this. And he carries you through that season. A gift of faith, it comes when you don't know you need it, but it's more, and it's extra dunamite power. It is a greater example and expression of God's faith. And he knows that there are moments and that there are seasons in our life where we need this gift, where it's going to carry us to greater places. It's going to take us further than we would ever go. It's going to cause us to go deeper in the things of God like we've never gone before. These are the gifts of faith. This probably is confusing for us, but let me give you an example. There were 2 women, and their names were Dana Curry and Heather Mercer. They were missionaries to Afghanistan. 3 days, 4 days before the World Trade Center bombings, they were captured. And they did not know if they would be released. Their families were completely worried about them. And then the bombings happened. And the World Trade Centers came down and everything changed. And they did not know if they would be forgotten. They didn't know if their family was, if these 2 women were being tortured in these Afghan prisons. They had no idea. And then November of 2011, our military raided Afghanistan and freed them. And they took them back and brought them to America. And as they were interviewed, these two missionary young women, they were in their early 20s. They were expressing some situations that they were going through and what they experienced. They experienced torture. They experienced fear. They experienced these things. They thought they were going to die. They didn't know if God was actually going to keep them alive. And one of the women talks about, I dealt with fear and panic and worry. I dealt with it, but my faith would keep me in it, and I would calm down, and then I would be able to move on to the next day, and I was okay. The other woman said this, something came over me from the very beginning, and I had a calm and a consistency through the whole thing. Panic just couldn't come in. I would worry a little, but it just didn't have any room because there was something on me, and it was the gift of faith. And she was given that gift of faith, and when they were delivered, she completely understood what she carried that day. You see, when you need it, God will give it to you. And when you don't know how you're going to make it, the Holy Spirit is right there going, oh, I know how you're going to make it. Let me just bestow this one on you right now because this is going to get you through this hard time. And you know what? This is not too big for me. Let me just give you a little bit more faith so that you can keep going. So you've got your groove, girlfriend. And so you can keep moving to where I need you to move and do what I need you to do and operate in these dark ways, but you still be the light. You see, God is going to gift us. These are wonderful and beautiful examples. If we go to Mark 4. We started in this quarantine with this story, Mark 4, 35 through 41. I won't read it because we've been through this story so many times in this church over and over this time. But it's where Jesus was. He was running from the crowds. He was like, okay, we got to cross over, man. And he gets on the boat with his disciples, and he lays down. And he's sleeping, and the waves come crashing and beating against the boat. The boat is about to go down. They wake him up, and they're like, Jesus, aren't you afraid? And he says, looks, be still to the storm. And he goes, where's your faith? And the men who just watched him in the crowds heal people and preach the gospel say, who is this man? Right there, that's a whole nother message that I will preach about the Church of the Living God right now, because I feel like people have forgotten who God is. But they didn't even recognize him, but yet he said, what are you doing? Storm, be still. There was a gift of faith on him. You say, but he was God. Of course that happened. Hold on. Let's talk about that for a second. He sacrificed his Godhead to come here on earth. That means he stripped himself of his Godhead, and he walked this out in humanity. That means that he did not perform his first miracle until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Remember when he descended on a dove, when the dove descended upon him and the Holy Spirit filled him, and then his first miracle was water into wine. You see, he operated and was showing us that if he can do it, we can do it. And he stood up to that storm and he said, peace, be still. But so many times, we forget. He woke up from that. He was settled. He had a gift of faith, and he did what he had to do, and he walked into the moment with faith guarding him, surrounding him, and backing him. Guys, let me show you something. He didn't just do that because he was God and because he had favor. He left that to us when he left this earth. Go with me to Ephesians. I'm going to prove this to you. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. And you should read the whole verse, the whole prayer is amazing, but I'm going to pick up in verse 20. It says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, talking about Jesus. He has now sat at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion. You know, that's not happening up there in heaven. That's happening here on earth, right? So he's saying he's far away from all those things. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but which is to come, he's talking about us. Verse 22, he has put all things, say with me, all things. Type it in, all things, under his feet. That means he's already fought the war, right? And he gave him to be head over all things to the church. That means Jesus Christ is the head of our church, is the head of the church of the living God here on earth, and he has authority and he is the head over all things. This is not Pastor Dan and Jess's church. Jesus Christ is the senior pastor of this church. Verse 23, which is his body. Wait a second, you're saying I'm the body of Jesus Christ here on this earth? Absolutely, 100%. 100%. He's going to use us like he was used on this earth. The fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus walked this out, showed us how it's done, went and sat at the right hand of the Father, and then said, here you go, church. I'm giving you every tool that you need. I'm giving you every position that you have to have. I'm giving you every gift that you need to succeed. Now step into it, daughter of the Most High God. Take your place in the kingdom of God and show the world who I am and be my voice, be my hands. Take on faith and do what it is that God is requiring of us to do. You see, he has given us the authority. These are gifts in his example. Another beautiful example, Acts 9. Go with me to Acts 9. I'm going to turn there. I'm using the New Living Translation today. Using the New Living Translation. And it will probably be up on the screen. I'm not quite sure if they had it on the screen. So this is a Bible study. We're going to go through the Bible. Is that okay with you guys? I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to keep your attention. I'm here to put the word of God in you, and you do with that, with the Holy Spirit, what you want to do. Verse 9. And we're talking about the man named Ananias. Who's Ananias? We're about to be introduced to him, okay? Verse 9 through 17. Sorry, my eyes aren't great up here. Okay. He remained blind for 3 days, talking about Paul. Paul remained blind for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. This is when God grabbed his attention. When he was Saul, he was still Saul. He was the one who was murdering Jews. He was the one that was chopping them up. He was the one that was killing them. He was the one that was coming after them. Okay? And God grabs his attention and takes him and blinds him. And he was blind for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. Verse 10, now there was a believer. It doesn't say that there was a pastor, right? It doesn't say an apostle or a disciple. Who is it? A believer. Wait, that means somebody just like you. Yep. Somebody just like you. Anyone that believes on God, he will use. And he will give you the gifts of faith. And here it is. He says, there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to the straight street to the house of Judah. When you get there, ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, I don't know about you, but I'd be like, but Lord, wait, I don't want to go see Saul. He's a mean guy. He might kill me. He kills people like me. But God, why would you put me in front of someone who would do me harm? How many of us would be fighting with God on this matter? So Ananias, but Lord, explains Ananias, I have heard many people talk about this terrible things that this man has done. And the believers, to believers in Jerusalem, he is authorized by the leading priest. Hold on. By the people who call themselves the men of God. There's something going around right now. I just watched a documentary called The American Gospel. It's on Prime or something. And it is talking about men of God at one time turning and actually twisting the gospel. And people are falling into the sway of the devil and believing foolish things like there's no hell. Like love wins by Rob Bell. Foolishness. Foolish. Ungodly. It will take you straight to hell if you follow that path. Because hell is very real, and someone needs to tell you like it is. It's deceiving words, and here were the priests going to crucify their own Savior and Messiah to arrest everyone who calls upon the name. Verse 15, but the Lord said, do we have a gift of faith that when God says to do something, we say, okay. Guys, when he said, don't ever shut your doors again, we had to have a gift of faith on us. Because I cannot tell you all the hate and criticism we received and still receive to this day. And I'm here to say, I don't answer to man, but I answer to God. And when it comes down to it, one day I will give an account and stand before the Lord, and I will have to answer for what I have done with his church and with his people, because this is not my church. This is his church. And here's this man. He says, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to make my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Hold on. Ananias is listening to this, knowing what Saul has done to his people. And he's like going to go and actually like make this happen and be a part of this. Wouldn't you think God's crazy? Wouldn't you be like, this is, what? No, what? But there had to be a gift of faith on him. Because when a gift of faith comes on you, nothing can sway you. When a gift of faith comes on you, you have to carry out what it is God is asking and requiring of you as a Christian. When there's a gift of faith on you, it's something supernatural that no one around you will understand. And it will take you to places you never thought you could go. And it will take you further than you ever thought you could be. And it will take you to realms that you will never knew you could experience. Because when a gift of faith comes upon you, you step into something supernatural, and the natural no longer makes sense. But when God is speaking, it makes sense to Ananias. And Ananias has this gift of faith come upon him. So Ananias went out and found Saul, and he laid hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on that road has sent me so that you might regain your strength and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Woo, he's got power now. Instantly, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. Afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. You see, Ananias had to be used and operate in the gift of faith in order to do something crazy like that. What is it God's going to ask of you? What is he going to ask of you? What gift of faith is he going to drop something in your spirit, man? You're not going to be able to walk away from it, but he's going to give you the faith that you need to plow through it and for it and petition for it. God will be on your side. He will cover you in this, and he will give you the faith that you need to do it. Number two, gift of healing. Ooh, we all like this one, right? Especially now with this coronavirus and all these other things going on. Gift of healing. You know, healing looks like many different things. I want to point out to you that it's gifts of healings. It's a plural gift. Why is that? Well, I don't believe that the same gift works with every thing. God knows that there's many different sicknesses, many different types of healing that need to happen and manifest. And so he meets those will and that need as needed. And so there are gifts of healing. Did you know that you don't have to wait for Andrew Kabbalah or the healing evangelist to come through and you to get prayed for, but that God heals now? That he heals when you pray? That he heals when your sister lays hands on you? Why does the Bible say, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Not because it doesn't work, but because he wants to bestow gifts of healing upon us. And that as we pray for people, we will begin to see healing manifest in their bodies. So many times I've experienced this and I prayed, and people are like, oh my gosh, I'm healed. And I'm just like, that's amazing, because I did not feel any different when I prayed. I actually was just like, come on, God, I know you can, so go ahead. And I linked my faith up with God, and those people received healing. How cool is that? And see, it doesn't have to be this complicated thing, but healing, a gift of healing, let me give you the definition, is supernatural gift of divine healing. Supernatural healing without natural means. The gift has nothing to do with natural healing or medical science. Hold on, what are we listening to right now in the world? The supposed medical science everywhere. But I'm here to tell you, there's something greater than medical science. There's something more powerful than medical science. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the healer. Medication can maybe be a process and a help to heal, but God is the one who heals. Doctors are not healers, they are doctors. They help you. They come alongside you and they bring you and lead you to places of healing, but they are not healers. Dr. Vanessa sitting on the front row. Dr. V, you're not a healer, are you? You're a doctor. Yes, she is, but Dr. Vanessa is a woman of the Most High God, and she carries the Holy Spirit living on the inside of her. So when she prays for healing, you don't only just have that whole medical side, but you got the spiritual side happening. And that's a double, that is double, right? So she has the blessing and the benefit of the knowledge and the understanding, but then she's got to submit her knowledge and understanding and put it at the feet of Jesus and just trust God. Because there are some supernatural things that God wants to do nowadays. What do you need healing in? I was talking to God about this, and I'm thinking all the physical things, you know, like backs need to be healed, God, and legs need to be healed, and arms need to be healed, and the Lord said, and hearts need to be healed, Jess, and minds need to be healed, and wrong thinking needs to be changed. I mean, God is after every part of healing. Isn't that cool? That he's on the scene all the time and that he's waiting and he's seeking whom will be used by him so that people can have freedom from this thing that oppresses them. God wants you free. And we are the vessels to carry the gospel and to be used in gifts of healing for the benefit of other people. How cool is that? You get to be a full-time minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that in 1 Corinthians 2:9 it says, and to another have faith by some, and to another gifts of healing in the same spirit. Jesus was one to show us how this happened. I mean, you think about his time here on earth. He walked around and he healed everybody, right? He would walk around healing everybody. So we know that Jesus heals, but I want to show you about how people actually heal, okay? And how God used them. Acts 10:38 says, and this is talking about Jesus, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Right? So was God only with Jesus? No. Jesus said, I have to leave. I have to leave this earth because in this fleshly body, I'm not operating as the Godhead. But I'm leaving you one that can be everywhere at all times and know all things and bring you power to heal. I have to go, but I'm going to leave you an advocate. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Jesus understood the importance of what his time on earth was, and yet understood the importance that the Holy Spirit is what we operate in, and those gifts that we step out in, and believe that when we pray, that God is going to do something in and through our prayers, and that we will be healed, and that there are gifts of healing. I believe right now, as you're listening to this, that the Spirit of God is healing your body. That there is pain lifting right now. That there's depression lifting right now. That there is brokenness that is just going to dissipate right now in the name of Jesus. Healing to fall upon us. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to live in pain. He doesn't want us to live hurt and broken, busted and disgusted. That was never the plan of God, is for us to live like we are right now. That's how you can look at the world and go, this is not God. That's how you know, because God doesn't curse us. God blesses us. God comes after us with everything in him. God gives us all that he has, and God loves and redeems and restores and heals. And when it looks evil and the opposite of all of that, that's why I hate it when people are like, well, you're opening your doors and you're hurting people and you're not loving your neighbor. Oh, foolish hogwash. The church of the living God loves people more than anyone on this earth. And we understand what love is. And sometimes love has to kick your butt into heaven. And sometimes we got to get past our natural, step into our supernatural. And love is what God says love is, not what the world demeans it as. You see, God came because he is love. And healing is a part of his master plan. And you are a part of his master plan. He wants to use you. He wants to bestow the gift of healings upon you. Wow. That means I don't got to wait for the prayer team afterwards and Dr. Kermernick to pray. Nope. you could pray over yourself. I've heard people come up to me and say, well, when you pray. No, no, no. No, when you pray. You see, I will, of course, pray with you and be in agreement. Absolutely, 100%. I love prayer. But we've got to understand who we are and what God wants to do in us. You know, let's talk about this for a second. Let's see it in the Bible, Acts 3, 6 through 8. When God gave his gifts to us, remember, he went and sat at the right hand of the Father, and he gave things to the church. He sent the Holy Spirit, and this is a part of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to us as believers. So that means, you know, there were, I think about the disciples, there were times when they would walk, and as they walked, their shadow, people were healed in their shadow. How would you like to be in the grocery store and just say, because you're walking, you people are getting healed behind you. You have no idea. Why not? Because he's the same God today as he was back in these days in the Bible. And we just have to begin to operate and open our spirits up to what the Spirit of God wants to do inside of us. There was a lame man, and he was broken, and he was asking Peter for money. That sounds like San Bernardino, doesn't it? Like, everywhere I go, like, I have no more cash because everybody takes it. And then by the time I get in the into the food store, In-N-Out or something, I'm like, well, I guess I have to use my card. Because you can't keep cash on you. They're always asking for money, right? Same is happening here. It shows me that times are not different. Go with me to Acts 3, 6 through 8. And it says, but Peter, this is what Peter's response is to this lame man. Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. What? Hold on. Can you imagine if the homeless man came up to you with his limp and he asked you for money? He said, no, actually, let me pull over on the side of the road. I'm going to come talk to you for a second. I don't have any money, but I know someone that can heal your leg right now. That would be weird, right? But why not? Why not, church? Why not step outside of our box? Why not step outside of our comfort zone? I believe the Holy Spirit wants to begin to do some things here on this earth that we haven't seen except for in the Bible times. But God is the same God working. And then Peter says, verse 7, then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. As he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Wow. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and he began to walk, then walking and leaping and praising God. And he went into the temple with them, and he told of the good news of what God did. You are a woman that God wants to bestow this gift on. You say, really? Absolutely. I remember one time for me, I was woken up in the middle of the night. It was like a sudden wake up. I had been dealing with my son. He had been very sick for a couple days. And I didn't, you know how like you're sleeping in the middle of the night and you just get woken up as a mom. There's just something there. Well, it's not woman's intuition, girls. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit woke me up. I went in his room and he was so hot and his nails were coming off of the nail beds and he couldn't move his neck. I was such a young mom, I knew nothing about what was called meningitis. I had no idea what that was. I was just like, what is happening? And this fear wanted to come on me, but a gift of faith jumped on me. And then I got a discerning of spirit, okay? I mean, there were a lot of gifts operating in this moment, and it was quick, guys. And I got this discerning of spirit, and it said, pray against the spirit of meningitis. I didn't even know what meningitis was. I had no idea. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, I break right now this spirit of meningitis over my sin. Be healed in Jesus' name. And as I said the name of Jesus, I saw his face just change. His fever broke instantly, and he fell to sleep. He moved his neck, and everything was fine. And the Lord said, you can go back to bed now. I woke up the next day, and he had no issues. He had to grow his nails back. But I'm telling you, it was a supernatural thing. I'm sure if you talk to doctors, they're like, that could have been death. That could have been. It could have been. But I was a woman led by the Spirit. I was a mama ready to go whenever the Lord called on me. And I was ready to use the gifts that were operating in my life for my son's healing and salvation. You see, God is not a respecter of persons. Your children need you to be present in the things of God. Your children need you to get into the house of God and fill up your spirit, man. They need you to be in your word. They need you to be praying, because there are lives at stake, and God wants to heal people. He wants to restore people. He does not want the enemy snatching any more people and taking them back to hell where he belongs. Hell was made for Satan and his demons, not for humanity. Jesus came to save us. We have a job to do, and God wants to heal, and he wants to restore. God is not a respecter of persons, as he used me, as he used these disciples, as he used Peter. He will use you in the gifts of healing. Isn't that good news? So good. Number three. You guys ready for number three? We all like number three. Gifts, workings of miracles. Guess what? Another plural. It's another plural gifting, because there are many different types of miracles. Now, so many times, we can look at healing and call that a miracle. Well, absolutely. But healing is healing, and miracles are miracles. You want to hear the definition of it? Okay. Divine intervention that alters circumstances. That's what miracles of workings are. Divine interventions that alters circumstances. Would you like to experience this in your life, church? How about online? Do you guys want to experience miracles? Then the power of God is turning around a negative situation in your life right now. I believe God is beginning to move some things around. When you are serving him, and when he wants to bestow the miracles on your life, when you begin to ask him for them, he begins to move. So a miracle is supernatural. I think about my dad. I was talking to Julie about this the other day. It's not even in my notes. But here's my dad, and he went in for back issues, and he was going to get actually a knee replacement, and they found out there was something wrong in his heart. It's probably about a year ago. And they went in, and they said, oh, yeah, your arteries, we think they're clogged. And so they did the thing that goes up, and they did the whole microscopic thing. And they found out that he had grown a new artery pumping blood into his, am I saying that right? Artery, right? Pumping blood into his heart, which is a miracle. Your body doesn't normally grow new ones. And then also grew one pumping blood out around the one that was clogged. They said, this is unbelievable. This has never happened. We've only seen about two or three athletes that have had one grow, but never two. And God said, it's a miracle. My dad said, it's a miracle. Because I was going to go home and be with Jesus, because I'm not letting you clear it out. Let me go home. And he said, but apparently God wants me here. And he gave him something new. The medical field cannot create that. That is only given by God. Am I right, Dr. Vanessa? That is a miracle, right? Now, if God began to heal those old arteries, then that would be healing. He would heal that. But he actually gave something new in a manifest, a miracle. Do you see kind of the difference? How about miracles? Let's talk about the first miracle that God performed. Water into wine. Whoa. Jesus even said to his mom when they ran out of wine at the wedding, wait, it's not my time, woman. And she just didn't even listen to him, just like a mama, right? She's like, no, you're going to do this. And he went and he did it. And when he gave it to the man, when he gave it to the master of ceremonies, they said, this wine is the best wine ever. Normally, you put the good stuff out first before everybody's drunk. Then they can enjoy the good stuff, and then they give them the bad stuff when they're all lushed, you know? And Jesus says, no. There you go. And he took water into wine. He said, go fill these containers up with water. And as he poured it, it turned into wine. That is a miracle. Water does not turn into wine. But through Jesus Christ, crazy things can happen. There was a time in my life where I was driving and I hit sand. And I was about 19 years old. Really was trying to serve God, but I wasn't fully there. You know, have you ever been like, I'm really trying, but I mess up so much. And that's where I was in my life. And I was like doing a lot of God, but a little bit of like the world. And actually I was coming from a party and I was the designated driver and my friend was in the seat. Totally gone. And I was driving home. I hit sand. And I started spinning out. And I thought, oh my goodness. I saw what could happen. There was a car coming my way. There was no way we weren't going to flip because the car was completely out of control. I'm trying to touch the steering wheel, and I couldn't. And I cried out to the Lord, and I said, if you save me, God, if you give me a miracle right now, I will serve you every day of my life. Something happened, guys. That steering wheel began to straighten out. The car, not kidding you, lit up. And there were no cars around us at all. Where did all the cars go? And I'm sitting at stop on the right side of the road facing the right way, and I heard the Lord say, go. And I was like shaking, you know, like shaking. I get it, God. I dropped my friend off. I said, peace out. We ain't hanging out no more. Like, I've got something to do for the kingdom of God. And my life changed from that moment on. It was like just this moment with me and God. That was a miracle because I should have flipped. That car should have crashed. I should have hit the oncoming car coming at me. But God, you see, miracles happen all the time, every day. You probably can think about some things that have happened in your life, maybe with finances, and you're going, I just have literally no idea how I'm going to pay this bill. There's no income coming in, but then somehow the bill gets paid, right? Miracles. God is working on our behalf, and God wants to work miracles through you. What? Yep, that when you pray, that you will receive. That when you pray for someone, that you will receive. When you pray for a miracle, when you pray for this church, when you pray for the hearts of men, that I believe that when we pray against that spirit of suicide, that people are going, no, I'm not going to kill myself today. I believe that when we ask God to begin to stir up the church and awaken us from the inside out, that there's a miracle happening in our sleep and in our prayer time, and we're not settled until we answer the voice of God. I believe these are miracles happening in our day and in our age. What is it that God wants to work through you? And you are a vessel for miracles. I love this. John 16:7 says, but in fact, it is best that you, for you, that I go. This is Jesus talking, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him. You see, God wanted the Holy Spirit to work with us. Did you know that? That you are part of working with God here on this earth, and that he's going to bestow upon you the gift of miracles. That when you pray for something, when you petition heaven for something, when you cry out to your God, that he will hear you and it will happen. Because God is the God of miracles. He is the God of signs and wonders. He is the God who heals and restores. He is the God who brings the restoration into places that seem like they can never be restored back. He is the God that can change a mind and a heart. Look at Saul into Paul. I mean, come on. Who would have thought that would change? You know, so instead of hating our president, instead of hating Newsom, instead of hating these people that, yes, are being used by the enemy, don't look at them as a person, but look at the devil behind it, and then begin to pray for a miracle in their life. Pray that they have an encounter with God and that they are stopped in their sleep and that they have a revelation of what God wants. You see, begin to pray for your husband who's an alcoholic, who you think there's no hope for, and believe that God is going to strip him of the alcoholism. I've heard so many stories that people would cry out to God and say, I never want to desire this again, and they didn't. He just took that desire away from them. But we have to be in a place ready to receive from the Holy Spirit, and he wants to use these gifts in us to praise those, to pray the crazy prayers, church, to step out and believe for miracles to be operating in our life when we're on season. I think about another really cool story. I know this woman. Do you mind the miracles side of it? You get to tell cool stories. I knew this woman. She was at a beach one day, and somebody died. They drowned. And she ran, and she was like, I didn't know this person, but there was something that jumped on me, and I had to pray. And she ran over to this young man. She prayed over him, and he came back to life. They were saying, the paramedics were there. They were like, he's gone. She prayed, and he came back to life. Come on. Why are you not the one at the right time, at the right place to lay hands and see the dead raised? Why not? Because God wants to do that in these end times, church. He wants to use you. We are the church of the living God, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's why I'm so passionate. That's why I fight so hard, and I don't speak the language of this world, but I speak the language of heaven, because I know that he who lives on the inside of me is greater than he that lives in the world, and I know the gifts that he wants to bestow and have us operate in, and that he is not a respecter of persons. So I want to commission you, now that we've learned what the nine gifts are, to go out into the world and preach the gospel and be full-time ministers of Jesus, and be ready to be used by God in the gift of knowledge, in the gift of wisdom, in the gift of discerning spirits, in the gift of healing, miracles. Come on, people. There are some gift of tongues, interpretation. There are nine gifts that are freely yours, and God is not a respecter of persons. So let's believe God at his word, and let's begin to operate these things in our lives in these end times, because God wants us to be miraculous in what it is that we walk out here on this earth. We don't have to be like this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're set apart. We're a chosen people. We're a chosen generation. And I'm here to tell you today, remember who you are. Remember that you are the girl with her sword out and her shield up, ready to fight off the words of heaven, that it won't come near your threshold or your foothold. It won't come near you. And if it tries, it will not win. I'm telling you right now, faith overcomes fear. And we have these Holy Spirit gifts to help us walk through them. I want to pray over some of you today. But before I do, I want to make sure that you know Jesus Christ. If you're online, don't check out. It's not time to check out. Because I'm going to pray a special prayer for healing and a special prayer for some miracles right after this. But I want to get people saved. I want to make sure that you are on your way to heaven and you are not apart from God and separated from God. What separates you from God? Easy, simple answer. Sin. Sin is anything opposed to what God says. And when you are separated from God, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Someone just needs to lay it out for you and tell you like it is. What do I do then if I'm in sin? What do I do? That scares me. Don't let it scare you. Let it make you have a revelation that you need Jesus today. You are not promised tomorrow. You could die in a car accident. You could have a heart attack. And this may be your last day on earth. And if it was, would you wake up in heaven or would you wake up in hell? Ask that question to yourself and say, well, if I wake up in heaven, then you're saved and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. But if you aren't sure, I wanted today to give you an opportunity to make sure. Jesus loved you. He died on a cross for you. He took on your sins that day when he went on that cross and his body was stripped open. He was that spotless lamb for your sin. And he becomes the bridge and the barrier so that you can now come and you can ask for forgiveness and ask Jesus to forgive you. He will forgive you of your sins and you will be born again. You ask him to come and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You pray a prayer and you ask him to come in and be the Lord and Savior of your life. You are no longer your own, but you are now his, a daughter or a son of the Most High God. So today, if you need to know who Jesus is, I want to give you this opportunity. If you've been running from God instead of to God, and you were that person like I was, a lot of God, but a little bit of the world and really struggling, today's your day to make right. This is your God moment. This is your cry out moment. Get right with the Lord today. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a second to do that. If you've been studying the systems and the ways of religion, I have so many conversations. Well, I'm checking out Buddhism. I'm checking out Muslim. I'm checking out this. I'm here to tell you right now that there is no other God. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is the one and only God. And Jesus says that there is no way to heaven except through him, that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And today you have now heard that, and you are accountable to that. And it is time for you to surrender and say, you are God, and you will be the Lord of my life. This is how it's going to work. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'm going to bang my foot on the whatever this is, stage. And you're going to raise your hand. I'm going to see it, and we're going to pray a prayer together. If you're online, you will see a little wave hand. If you're on our platform for our church, you can go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on Facebook, or if you are on YouTube, then go ahead and say, yes, go ahead and wave your hand or say, I want to pray this prayer with you, Pastor Jess. And we're going to pray this prayer together, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to connect with us through the online church service, okay? So on the count of three, get ready. If you've never known Jesus Christ and today you need to make sure that you know him, get ready to raise your hand. If you've been running from God instead of to God, get ready to raise your hand. And if you've been looking at other religions and you've been playing games and you now know the truth, so I want this. But you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you're going to repeat it after me, okay? So everybody bow your head, close your eyes. If you're in your living room, if you're in your car, whatever, just do this right now. It's your special moment between you and Jesus. Say, Dear Father God, I come before you today, and I ask that you would forgive me of my sins, and that you would come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Today, I walk away from the woman that I was, and I step into a new woman that you've called me to be. I ask today that you would fill me, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to teach me from your word, that you give me a boldness and a gift of faith to say no to sin and head for heaven, that you would give me eyes to see and ears to hear. Teach me, Holy Spirit, from your word. Thank you, Jesus, that I am saved, that I am born again, that I'm on my way to heaven, and that I'm leaving hell behind. Love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Yay! We love you so much. Do not do life alone. And so right now, if you've raised your hand, go ahead and click the Get to Know God button. It should be there. Or you can go to www.rockchurch.com, and we can go ahead and say, Get to Know God. I prayed that prayer. And we will send you information. Somebody will call you and pray with you. Connect with someone. Don't do life alone. And church is open. Come on in. Come get into the house of God. Come meet people that are of like faith. It is so good to fellowship together. We love you. Thank you for joining us today. Now, some of you in this room and some of you online need healing. You need healing. You need healing in your heart. You need healing in your mind. You need healing in your body. You need healing in different parts of you. And so I want to have everybody in the room stand up right now. But if you're at home, go ahead and stand up. And just believe that you're going to receive just this gift of healing right now. I don't know what your need is, but God does. There's a couple things he's telling me. There's some women that are barren. God is healing your womb right now. There's some women that are having menstrual problems. You're like the woman with the issue of blood, and you just keep having these issues, and it's causing a series of other issues in your body. God wants to heal you right now. There's something going on in someone's brain. It's not a thought thing. It's actually a mass. And it's brought fear to you, but the Lord is going to begin to shrink it, and it's going to be gone. Arthritis has consumed you. And the Lord says he wants to begin to heal that arthritis out of your hands and out of your knees. That's what I'm hearing, out of your knees and out of your lower back. God wants to do something new in you. We're going to pray. If I did not mention what you're dealing with, it doesn't mean that God's not going to heal you. He wanted me to tell you that. But he wanted me to call those things out to give you a gift of faith, to know that he hears you and he knows your cry. So Lord, right now I just pray in faith that in the name of Jesus, every sickness and spirit of infirmity, every ailment, every arthritis, every broken and unbarren womb, Lord, we ask God for every pain in fingers and knees and arthritis has to go in Jesus' name. We pray over this brain mass. We command you right now to shrink and be gone in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray right now a fresh healing to just sweep over everybody in this room right now. Lord, just fall upon them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Just fall upon them. You're going to feel a warmth of the Holy Spirit beginning to heal you. Now, for those of you online, just put your hands up and just release and surrender to what God wants to do. Lord, I just pray supernatural healing over every person online right now. Lord, I ask that you would begin to do a new work inside of them, through them from the top of their head all the way down to the bottom of their feet. That, Lord, that they are healed by the stripes on the cross. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Anyone feel just the healing power of God right now? Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is moving. I don't know who needs a miracle. I guess we all could probably say we need a miracle from where we're living right now. But if you need a serious miracle, if God doesn't show up, if he doesn't do something, then there's despair, then there's just no hope. But God is here to say, today you're going to receive your miracle. And so I want you to reach your arm up. I want you to ask God for that miracle. All right, Lord, you know every need in this room. And right now, we speak healing over marriages right now. Those that are believing God online and in this room for their marriage, Lord, we ask right now for healing of the heart, healing of the mind, restoration in places that seem so beyond broken. Lord, we ask that you begin to do a new work and give them a spirit of wisdom on what to do, God. Lord, right now, I ask for healing in business. Your businesses have been attacked. Maybe you're online and you're discouraged today. You're going, how are we going to make it? Oh, Lord, I pray that you provide in ways only you can. Lord, that you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing upon them that as they're faithful in their tithe, that God, that you would bless that 90. And Lord, that you go before them. And Lord, we ask for favor in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask God that you would give them, God, in time of famine and feast, give them blessing and favor right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for the other miracles that only you and they know, God. These intimate places, these embarrassing moments, Lord. Lord, I ask right now that you would just begin to move. Holy Spirit, begin to do something new inside of them right now in the name of Jesus. The spirit of fear, you fall off right now in the name of Jesus. You will no longer take them captive, but they are free in the spirit of the living God. And Lord, we pray right now a hedge of protection upon every single one of them. And Lord, we thank you for the miracles that are working in their life. Lord, we ask God for those people that they're believing for to be saved, to come back to you right now. Lord, we ask for a miracle of salvation for our families, God. Lord, that there would be this deep revelation and this aha moment for them. Lord, send laborers across their path, God, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And we declare that what the devil meant for bad, God meant for good, and that no weapon formed against them will prosper in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray right now a special gift of faith to fall upon every woman in this room for this season, that their hearts would not be discouraged, but they would have a calm and a steady, and that they would know what to do, and that they would know how to walk it out. Lord, I pray for every woman listening to this right now, a gift of faith to be released upon them during this season, that you would keep your church, the living church of the Most High God. And Lord, you would strengthen us and you would equip us, Lord, that faith would come out of our heart and out of our mouths. And Lord, that your love would cover us. And Lord, that you would take us to new levels with you, God. And Lord, we ask for new revelations in you. Lord, we ask that our time in the Word would just jump alive at us, Lord, and that your Word would teach us and edify us. And Lord, we thank you, God, that we are women hungry after your heart, hungry for your spirit, hungry for what it is you want from us. So, Lord, do a new work here in this church. Do a new work in the people, God. Do a new work across this earth, God. Let the church of the living God arise and stand, Lord. Let us have a voice and give us a place, God. In Jesus' name, we silence every person that is coming against the houses of God. And, Lord, we ask, God, that you would free us. And Lord, that your voice would be heard and that people would have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, I pray a blessing over every woman in this room as she goes out into the highways and into the byways. Every person that's listening online, as she goes out into the highways and the byways, Lord, stepping into new places and new things they never thought they would do. Lord, a special grace to be upon them, gifts of grace to carry them through this, God. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.